So, picking up at the Gemara on Gimel. So the Gemara now finally asks and says, I don't understand. Why do we call... For a blot, now we have proven that or means night. That's great. But you could have saved us a lot of confusion by writing Leil Arba Asar, the night of the 14th. And then the first blot would not exist, and we would be farther into other topics in Pesachim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand.
By the way,
the Titanic. Sure. Well, it doesn't need to prove that Lila means night. It's the standard usage.
No, I mean, like, Lila's more of a derogatory or...
What? Why would that prove it?
Start off by saying that we like... That we don't
like... No,
example of what? Like, an example of the Torah.
Like, why do we start with what we start with? Why don't we just start with the Torah?
Well, first the Gemara wanted to prove the or meant, and then it says, but okay, why did you go through all this trouble? Why did it go the other way? I don't know. So the Gemara says, "V'tani didan, my time aloktani leleg." The Gemara answers, "Lishnam al Yehudinokat." It's using nice language, elevated language. Could you Rishu ben Levi? Amar Rishu ben Levi laolam al yotzi adam davar migune b'fiv. Now, and this is like Rishu ben Levi, who says you should never allow negative talk, disgusting talk. Leave your mouth. Now, right off the bat, there's a problem here. No, before we get that. Okay, right. First of all, as we'll see, I don't understand. Why is Lila a bad word? Okay, fine. Good. Now, even just the next two lines of the Gemara, there's a problem. The Gemara says, why don't you use the word Lila? Because you wanted to use Lashon Ma'aliyah. What's Lashon Ma'aliyah? Elevated language. Just like Rishu ben Levi, who says... Don't use bad language. No, what's the problem? No. What? Thank you. As Ethan points out, there's a gap between these two. Right, exactly, right? There is, it's one thing to say, there's a difference between saying, please speak in a dignified fashion. Right? Where, you know, that could mean anything. That could mean, please speak in an Oxbridge accent, right? What? Right. Oxbridge is the accent used at Oxford and Cambridge, right? A particularly elevated London accent, right? So you could say, aha, speak Lashon Ma'aliyah, but I understand, you know, you're uncivilized brutes from America. Wonderful. So we don't speak with an Oxbridge accent, but okay, at least speak, don't speak, right? Don't use foul language. There's a gap between those two. Right? There's a gap between those two. Right? Yeah, meaning he said, we use Lila because it's Lashon Ma'aliyah. It's elevated. Right? And this is the same as saying, don't use Lashon Migune. But those are not necessarily the same. Right? Or more precisely, right? You can speak in an elegant manner with advanced vocabulary. Or you could speak in a plain language, or you could speak in a foul way, right? Saying you should speak in an elevated way is not the same as saying you shouldn't speak in a negative way, right? You could not be speaking negative and also not be speaking in an elevated way. Okay, but what's the proof? The proof is almost as weird as, well, this entire sugya. What's the Gemara's proof? Shaharei, ikei makatuv shmona otiot. The Torah twisted 8 letters, lohotzi davar megune befiv, and did not let something disgusting out of its mouth. Shenemar min ha-behema teora u-min ha-behema asher einenu teora. The animal, this is in the context of Noach, the animal which is pure and the animal which is not pure. Rav Papa amar teisha. Now, what are the extra letters? Asher einenu teora, because there's an easier way of saying asher einenu teora. That is not pure, and that is? Tameh, right? Tmeah. Rav Papa said, Teisha, it's 9 extra letters, Shinemar Kievacha Ish, Asher Lo Yetahor, Mikre Laila, Vina Amar Eser, Vav de Tahor, and they keep going through different places where we say Lo Yihyeh Tahor, Lo Tehora, and then they start getting into, is it spelled in the Torah with a Vav, without a Vav? If it's with a Vav, then it's 10 extra letters. Rav Acha Amar Bar Yaakov, let me just read a few lines. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Sheshesrei, 16, Shinemar Ki Amar, Mikrehu Bilti Tahoru Ki Lo Tahor. Right, that is quite the verbose language there from Shmuel. Aleph, right, instead of saying it was Tameh, he said, Bilti Tahoru Ki Lo Tahor. Right? It is not Tahor, for it is not Tahor. Yes. And now, without missing a beat, the Gemara goes, Tanya Debe Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Olam Yisaper Adam Bilashon Nikia. You should always speak in a clean language. Share Bizav Kirao Merkav Uv Isha Kirao Moshav. Because when you're dealing with a thing that someone sits on, when you deal with a man, you call it Merkav, right? Something that he rides on. And for a woman, you call it Moshav, something that she sits on. Why? Correct. Right. It might have been to ride. Well, specifically with her legs split. Right. That's the assumption here. Right. So she might do something different, but at least the language we are invoking is different. Thank you. And now Kobe says, wait a second. Now we have a third language here called Lashon Naki. So now we have Lashon Naki, Lashon Ma'alya, not Lashon Meguneh. V'omer v'tivchar Lashon Aromim, Omer v'dat siftei barur, v'dat smatai barur, barur milulo. Ma, right, so you should speak Lashon Aromim, you speak barur milulo, what you say is sifted, is refined, literally, right? Borer is to separate, so barur is refined, right? In the actual meaning of refined, right? Like refined oil, like you actually take out the impurities. 1 second. My v'omer why two psukim v'chidem anemi l'midoraita v'derabanan lo. You might think this is only biblical, but in rabbinic, but rabbis, no, meaning the Torah is supposed to care about cleanest language, but not the rabbis. So to that we respond, lo, avamila, tashma, v'omer divchal hashem aromim, that you should choose wise, cunning language. Lo, but maybe you think this is only, okay, halacha, when I'm talking in Torah, I should speak refined, but when I'm just talking normally, then I don't have to care. And then the Gemara gets into the question of Mishkav and Merkav, but I'll take Moshe's question first, yes. Presumably writing too. Presumably. Though I could see why you might distinguish. Okay, and then Gemara asked, okay, V'isha Loktiv Amerkav, do we never say that which a woman rides? V'aktiv Atakam Rivka V'narote V'atirkavna Al Gmalim. Rivka rode on the camel. So Hatam Yishum Bi'atuta D'Gmalim Urchahi. So there, camels are particularly tall, so it's very, very dangerous and scary to ride on the side, and therefore people don't do it, so that was different, and it's just normal. Okay, fine. Moshe is said to have put his wife and children riding on the donkey. Hatam, Mishon Banav, Urcho, he said, nah, that was the kids, they can ride. Vaktiv, Hiro, Chevet, Alachamor. Hatam, Mishim, Beoduta, Delelia. Okay, then it quotes a pasuk. Okay, from Shmuel. Fine, that was at night. Urcho, Vibadim Mishum Biatuta Delelia, and at night they were scared. Leka Mishum, Vibadim Mishum Biatuta De, sorry, Hadam Mishum Biatuta Delelia Urcho, Vibadim Mishum Biatuta Delelia, now, all these cases are a little bit, yeah, well, that is part of this, but unless there's a reason for her, right? For her to, one second, messing up here. Unless there's a particular reason for her to ride. Yeah, no, that's a discussion elsewhere. V'aktivei v'chamora, mishum delel orchoviva, mishum betuta delelia leka, mishum betuta David ikar. Maybe she's not afraid of the night, but she's afraid of David, right? Abigail is scared, overwhelmed of David. Well, scared, because what was David about to do? Kill her husband and all his men, right? Right? If you remember the story there, that David's men are... You don't remember the story. No? What? Oh, okay. So David and his band of, you know, little army are protecting the grazing pastures in Midbarei Yehuda, and there's a very wealthy man, Naval, and they, with unbeknownst to him, but they are protecting his animals along with everyone else's, and then it comes the big feast where they're shearing the sheep, and they're celebrating, and David requests food for his men, and Naval says, who are you? You're a dog, you know, rebelling against your master. I'm not giving you anything. So David decides he's going to kill everybody, and Abigail hears that he's about to kill everybody, so she jumps onto the donkey and runs out and says, here's some food. Please don't kill my husband and all his men. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. Just take the food and be happy. And David says, thank you for not killing it. And she says, it'll be very bad for you when you become king if you, you know, murder people randomly. And he's like, wow, you are so wise. And then then Naval is very drunk. And he wakes, and when he wakes up, Abigail says, this is what happened. David was going to kill you. I saved you by giving away food, you idiot. And he was so distressed by it that he fell and died. And Abigail then goes right back to David and marries David. So, very nice story. So she had to get there as fast as possible, you know. It wasn't a time to be ladylike. She had to get food to David before, you know, he came and massacred her husband and household. Or maybe she wasn't afraid of David. She was afraid of riding on the mountain because, you know, you want, when you're riding down a mountain, you want to be secure. So now they want to ask the obvious question. What does the Torah not ever use the word tame? Ella, so the Gemara says, you're right, it does. Ella, ki kol hecha dechi hadadin inu. Mishtai v'lashon nikia. If the pure and impure language are equal, so use the clean one. Kol hecha d'defishin milei mishtai v'lashon k'tzara. But if it's going to be too long, so then stick to being concise, because brevity is the soul of wit. K'da amar avhun amarav, v'amri la amar avhun amarav, mishum rabbi meir la'olam. You should always teach your student in a concise manner. I don't know if we'll get through that. That's a nice little sugya also, but we'll leave it for now. Whatever, whenever equivalent, you choose the kavod. Wait a second, Yoshevet and Rochevet are the same number of letters, and Yoshevet, we already said, is more respectful. So why does it say Rochevet instead of Yoshevet? So he says, "V'kamar rochevet, rochevet k'tiv." It's written without a vav, and therefore it is less letters. Great. Okay. So that is, so what I want to deal with today is. Okay. So this is what we need to figure out here, which is okay. First of all, what is the value of lashon naki, and what do we mean by lashon naki? Because we have three phrases which may or may not be related, which are clearly related in some way. We have. Don't speak v'lashon miguneh, because you should always speak, right? Sorry, speak v'meuleh, because you shouldn't say davar miguneh, and then it has lashon naki, right? So, if I ask, so I want two questions, okay? What is the relationship between these categories, and why is there such a value, whatever said value is? Okay, that's the questions that I want to deal with, because, you know, if because of this weird value, it took us to blot, to figure out what the word or means, then we should figure out why it was worth banging our head against the wall trying to figure out what the word or means. Yes, Mark. So. And now, well, actually, just one more thing before you say that. And in the background, there should you should be thinking that not only do you have to compare the three categories that are here, right? Lashon Naki, Lashon Meuleh, and Lashon Meguneh. But, as is often the case in Shas, for a full picture, what do you need to do? Look at other Gemaras that deal with the same or related principles, and the one that you're most likely to confuse this one with is a fourth category, which we'll have to define, which is Nivul Peh. Right? I assume at some point in your life you've been told not to speak with Nivul Peh. No? Good God. Thank you. What is Nivul Peh? Or what did people tell you Nivul Peh was? Now, Nivul Peh is usually... What? Nivul Peh... Okay, so colloquially people say Nivul Peh like you're using like curse words or something like that. But that's... Well, see, that's not what it means in the Gemara. What people mean by Nivul Peh is probably closer to our sugya of Lashon Meguneh, right? Whatever it is. We're not yet. We're not defining it yet. We'll see. Really? You've never heard of Nivul Peh? What? You read us of Doros? Yes. What? I'm just going to ignore that. Yep. No, it's not. What? What? Of course, that's what it is. All of you are speak the most rarefied of languages. So all your teachers and parents always said, "Ah, you speak so eloquently and so you speak with yes, refined Victorian." You all speak and.
No.
Okay, so we're going to continue here. So, yes, Mordechai. A suggestion for which question? Okay, Megune, Malia, Nikia, yeah.
So, mostly focusing on Malia. So, Malia is always talking, is always putting on the
and so, meaning what? Okay, so first thing is Ma, Lashon Ma'ala, Ma'alia is only in contrast to Megune. Meaning what? Okay, right. So first of all, Mordechai just said, well, maybe what we have to learn from here is that Ma'alia, even though it sounds like something positive, Meguneh sounds like something negative, right? We don't actually mean it. These are contextual terms, and they're just to be understood as inverses, right? That to not speak Lashon Meguneh is to speak Lashon Ma'alia and don't read too much into it. That's very possible. What about Lashon Naki? Is that the same or different? Okay, good. So, one second. So, Mordechai suggests, and I think this is a very plausible way of reading the Gemara, is that despite, I really do, meaning the fact that the Gemara presents Lashon Ma'alia as the inverse of Lashon Meguneh, even though they don't sound the same and there seems to be a gap, right, there's good reason to believe that what the Gemara means here by Lashon Ma'alia is language which is not Lashon Meguneh, but that may be distinct from Lashon Naki, right, which would leave us with two rather than three categories here. Right? I think that's a very plausible way, because otherwise I don't know what to do with it. Right? Honestly, I don't know what to do with it. Meaning, yes, I more wanted you to notice that there is a gap here, but I'm not sure that the gap means anything. Now, the irony of it not meaning anything in a Gemara that is talking about the importance of how you talk and brevity for the sake of clarity, to use two terms that sound different but are the same, is quite ironic, but... Maybe the Gemara is just trying to be... Maybe the Gemara is being funny. Yeah. Okay, right. So on the one hand, I might think they're distinct. On the other hand, Kobe said, well, they can't be totally distinct because then it doesn't belong here. Right? They're clearly related concepts. Good. So they're related, but it could be in this discussion for one of two reasons. It could be because it's identical, or it could be because it's related. Those aren't the same. Correct, but there's a... Okay. If I was giving a shiur on speech ethics, right, in halacha. And I spoke about the importance of telling the truth and not embarrassing people and lashon hara and speaking cleanly, right? You wouldn't look at me and say, aha, they're all identical. You would say that there's an organizing principle that connects them, which is the way you speak, right? Speak whatever, right? But there's a, so you're right, they're clearly connected, but they're not necessarily identical. I'm not saying anything. It could be. I'm saying that it could be. I mean, Kobe's right. You can't end up saying that these are two completely unrelated concepts because Gemara it's part of one big discussion. So it's either that these are three identical terms, right? They're either three distinct terms, which seems unlikely. As Mordechai would have it, they're two terms which are just two sides of the same coin, which is Lashon Malya and not Meguneh, and then there's Lashon Naki, and then Lashon Naki is related, or Lashon Naki is equivalent, in which case these are three ways of saying the exact same thing, which again is in this Gemara, but, okay. Okay, so let's ask this straight. Let's just ask the question straight. Okay, fine. We've now left the taxonomy question, right? We understand the possibilities in terms of organization. How many concepts are we dealing with? But as Mordechai now points out, you have to ask at this point, why? Why? I mean, really, why? Right? Why is there any value to any of this? And so that's not usually the case. Thank you, Avi. To make our lives harder. That shouldn't be the answer to anything.
Really?
I mean, that's not true. I mean, I understand. Sometimes you think that we do things just to make your life harder. But it's not true. It's not true. Right? What? What?
It is true.
It is not true. I mean, no, usually not true. Usually not. If by harder you mean to challenge you, see, you could always put this in a positive light. You could always put Lashon Mali on it. Don't call it harder. I'm challenging you. I'm stretching your brains. Exactly. But why? Right? Why do we care? What do we care? Right? The Gemara, how much proof does the Gemara provide for its source? None. And then you've got to say, and what was the Havamina? This is only true in the Torah, but not in the Rabbanan. Or only in the Rabbanan, not Lashon. Like, why? If anything, it would be the opposite. Right? If anything, it's like, if you're just having, I would have thought maybe the opposite. That if I'm, like, I'm just talking. Right? So, like, there is an inherent value to what I'm saying, so I should be more careful. But, like, when you're teaching Torah, sometimes you have to be precise, and maybe the language is you could go either way, right? You could say, I mean, but what was the Havam? Why does the Gemara assume in the Havamina that you should have Lashon Naki more in the Torah than in Rabbana than in regular speech, and in Maskana that you need it in all, right? I mean, what is going on? What? Okay, so it could just be a question of proof, right? And then they quote Sukkim that say, well, no, you should use refined language. Okay, but why? Okay, right. Now, but why? So why? But what is the value to any of this? Why do we care about Lashon Naki? Why? What? But why do we care? Why is it valuable speaking in language? What? What? Okay, good. So one possibility is that, so why do we speak with good grammar? Okay, right, so one, this could be just like a generic value, like you're supposed to be dignified. Don't overthink this too much. You're supposed to be dignified, and that means good grammar and good vocabulary, and, you know, we all know that people who have about 17 words in their vocabulary and don't know grammar, we don't exactly look at them as intelligent, as repositories of wisdom.
Well, you're very fancy, aren't you?
What? right? But when people use enough English words that we don't understand, we're like, aha, he is smart. He is well read, right? Right? It's like when you read the Rav, you're like, wow, English was like his fifth language, and he speaks it better than I do, and it's my first language. Yiddish? Of course. English was after Yiddish and German and probably Russian and Hebrew and whatever. I think it was actually his fifth language. Maybe fourth, fifth, maybe sixth, I don't know. But he definitely knew many languages before that. Remember, he got a PhD in Germany before he came to America and learned English. Right? And yet his English is like, yes, those words that I use all the time. So it could just be that it's dignity. It's dignified. Eitan, you were saying something, but I didn't hear you. I heard you were talking and obviously talking. So what did you say? Okay, right. So it could be that it's right that this is that there's a hashkacha element to it. That if you speak in a certain way, okay, good. Now, what I think we need to do to figure out what the value is to take a case of negative language, really negative language, understand the value there and see whether this category is related to that. So what I want to do is try to sharpen these ideas by contrasting it or comparing it with Nivul Peh. So what is Nivul Peh? So if you look at the first group Gemara's here, the Gemara in Shabbat Lamed Gimel says as follows, okay? We'll run through this a little bit fast. But Ba'avon Nivlut Peh, because of the sin of what? Nivlut Peh. Right, so Nivlut Peh is, I'm trying to think of a good, base language maybe, vulgar speech, Tsarut Ayin, which is, that's a Tsarut Rabot, there are as much troubles, Ugzerot, what? No, base, not basic, base isn't. Vulgar, right? Tsarot rabot, there are many travails. Ugzerat kashot mitchachot, and harsh decrees are renewed. Uvachurei shonei Yisrael meitim, and the youth of those who hate the Jews, which is itself a lashon nakei, it's itself a euphemism for the Jews, right? So the Jewish youth die. Yitomim va'almanot soakin ve'einan enin. Orphans and widows cry out and are not answered. Shne'emar al kain. Machurov lo yismach Hashem v'tomav et almenotav. Lo yirachem ki chulod chanef umeira v'cholpet dover nevala v'cholzot lo shav apo v'od yado nituya. So Pasuk Mishayahu. Therefore the Lord, I will read you the translation. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, and neither shall he have compassion on their fatherless and widows, for everyone is ungodly and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks wantonness. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. My v'od yadon ituya. What does it mean that God's hand is still outstretched? Amar Rabbi Chana bar Rava, hakol yodim, kala lama nichnesa l'chupa. Everyone knows why a bride goes into the chuppah. Ela kol hamidnabel piv. But anyone who makes his speech vulgar and talks about it, afilu chotmina lav gzardin shel shivim shana letova, even if God had already decreed that you would have 70 years of goodness, hofchin alav lera'ah, we turn it to evil. And Amar Rabba Bar Shalom Rav Chizda kol hamidnabel et piv, if you make your speech vulgar, ma'amikin lo gehinom, we make hell even deeper for you. I don't know how deep it was, but however deep it was, it is now deeper. Shneamar shucha amukapi zarot, Rav Nachman Reis Gomrav shomea v'shotek, Shneamar z'um Hashem yipol sham. Not only the one who speaks it, but even the one who hears vulgar speech and is silent, is punished and your Gehenna becomes deeper. So, does the Gemara like Nivul Peh? No. No, doesn't like it at all. Right? And I remember, you know, I don't know if any of you have gone to camps that are even mildly yeshivish, but they do spend a lot of time talking about this and usually read a long paleoids about this, about, you know, a comedian who, you know, used to speak with Nivul Peh and then was like overtaken by demons and something and screaming. Do we believe in hell? You're right, Gehenna. Apparently. Ah, that's a better question. It's hell. Oh, no. I assume we don't believe in, like, Dante's Inferno. What? Latin, I think. Okay, good. Now, one more Gemara on Nivul Peh. So the Gemara also says it's in Ketubot Daf Chet. Amar Rav Chanan Barav. Hakol Yodin Kala Lama Nechnesa L'chupa. Everyone knows why a bride goes to the Chupa. El Kol Men Abel Piv Motzi Dabar Nefa Lami Piv Afilu Nechtam Lo Gzar Dino Shol Shivim Shana L'tova Nepach Lav Lira. Okay, so Kobe says, are these literal? I don't know, right? Yes, I know, but the Gemara also says that Lashon Hara is equivalent to murder and sexual immorality and Avodah Zarah altogether.
Oh, right.
So, okay, these all, it's probably hyperbole. But still, is it bad? I've heard that it's bad. It's definitely bad. Good. What is Nivul Peh? Someone define Nivul Peh for me. Is it? What do you think? Now, let's see. Anyone else have Mordechai in this Gemara? What is Nivul Peh? What is it? Thank you. Right. The Gemara says quite clearly that what is Nivul Peh? Does Nivul Peh have anything to do with foul words? No, it doesn't. Right. What is Nivul Peh? Not about immorality. Might be talking about immorality. What? Right, it's talking about things that are meant to be private. It's not about immorality, right? There's nothing immoral about the fact that on the wedding night that the husband and wife are together. There's nothing immoral about that, but you're not supposed to talk about it, right? It's about modesty. Correct, right? Nivul Peh is to speak about that which is right, meant to be private. It's to speak about that which is meant to be private. That's what Nivul Peh is. In the classic cases. Mazakashur. How is that related? I mean, to be private. No. No. Gossip is bad things about other people. Right, it's not a secret at all. It's that you're not supposed to talk about it. It's a private thing. It's not a secret thing. And it's not a bad thing. Right, Lashon Hara is bad. This is neither bad nor secret. But it's private. Okay. So now what you got to ask is, so this, we basically understand the value, right? Right, we understand the value. Why don't you say this? Because look, issues of sexual intimacy are meant to be private, even if they're not, we're not necessarily like immorality, but they're supposed to be private, so it's not something you talk about. It's not something you talk about, and this isn't sex in general, remember, this isn't like, right, the Gemara here is not talking about, can you have a discussion about sex, it's about talking about what this man and this woman are doing tonight. Right, that's a very invasive type of speech. Right, it's not a theoretical discussion about, you know, this is not like a group chassan class, right, where you talk in theory about what, right, you're talking in generalities. It's someone It's someone going over to the groom at the wedding and saying, "Have fun tonight," right? That's what it is, right? 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 It's very, right? It's particularly crude, right? That's what it is, right? That's nivul peh, okay? Right? That's nivul peh. How is that related to our Gemara or not? What do you think? So the simple understanding is no, right? Is that breaching the norms of intimacy, of privacy, is formally forbidden under this category called nivul peh. And then there's like another set of categories, which we said are either one, two, or three other categories, which are, we'll have to see what they are, but not as strict. And there, it's not about sexuality at all, right? It's about something else, because in the simple shot here is that tamei, tahor, is not, right, sexual, it's not private, any, right? There's just a different set of values that are about speaking in dignified language, right? Kobe says, not so fast. Why does Kobe say it's not obvious that this Gemara is different from nivul peh, right? It's clearly different. The question is how different, right? Is this Gemara a different, completely different conversation, or is it along the continuum? Okay, so Kobe notes that there's one example in this Gemara that if you're very careful, leads you to believe that at least the category of Lashon Naki might be a watered-down version of nivul peh, and that is that the Gemara says that one of the Lashon Naki is not to speak about women riding, ideally, on an animal. It's not terrible, but to ride on the animal, it's wrong to, because the woman's legs will be spread apart, and it sort of clearly has some sort of possible sexual, but you could understand why the Gemara there says it's not absolutely usher. How do I know that this is not absolutely usher, and therefore it's on the continuum of nivul peh? What? Because the Torah does it, and the Gemara says, well, yeah, it's only like in a case where it's the normal thing to do would not be to ride in that way, and then you use rochev, so that's wrong. But like, if there's a normal reason to use rochev, because like, the woman is riding that way because it's night or because she's afraid or whatever, so then there's nothing wrong with it, right? So it could be that that nivul peh is a real breach of sexual modesty, and that's asur. But now if I asked you nivul peh, lashon naki, what is lashon naki? Lashon naki means that ideally, it's not the same category, but it's like nivul peh minus, which is, if it sort of somewhat hints at something which is sexually intimate, but not really, so then there's like an ideal to not use explicit language, but it's not really usur, and therefore it's, right, it's nivul peh minus. It's like, that's lashon naki. What about lashon me'alia and davar meguneh? What about that? Is that nivul peh? Is that related to nivul peh? It's at first glance, no, right? At first glance, no. And therefore, you'd have to say that, look, nivul peh, which is sexual language, is asur, and this sugya is about something else. But what did we say the problem is? If it's about something else, then we have to start figuring out what is that something else. So that's obvious saying it's about dignity, and Eitan said it's about right, the way that you want to talk such that God relates to you in a certain way. What would be the benefit of finding a way in which this Gemara is reducible to some sort of sexual language? We would know, right? We would understand what we're doing. We would say, look, you want to know what language you should avoid? Sexual language. If it's really inappropriately explicit, right? Like talking crudely at the wedding, that is nivul peh. If it like very incidentally sort of hints at something that itself sort of hints at sexuality, So then we call that Lashon Naki. And that's like a lechatzila of a nivul peh. Right? But at least we'll know what the category is, right? We'll just say, look, there's a continuum of language that invokes, that hints at sexuality. And the farther along the spectrum it is, the more likely it is usur, right? And the more minimal it is, so the more it's just like a value to not speak it, right? But that would basically make nivul peh the overarching category and everything within it. Now, as Kobe noted, we could squeeze in the Lashon Naki discussion, but it's a little bit harder, the Davar Migune discussion. But who does manage to do this and basically says conceptually the proper way to understand the Sugya is more or less one big... No. The Meiri. No. I didn't necessarily put the sources in the order... I based on your conversations and your questions, whatever. But the Meiri, if you skip down to 8... No. So if you look at 8, right, the Meiri seems to go in this direction. So he says, L'olama yutzi adam davar migune bipiv. You should never let something disgusting come out of your mouth. Sharei ikem ha-katuv shmona otiot. Because the Torah twisted 8 letters. Kidei shlo otzi davar migune shenemer v'nei ma-torah u'min ha-bei ma-shen ha-torah. So now the Meiri wants to kill 2 birds with 1 stone. He wants to explain why this is usur and explain the other question which is hanging over us, which is, if tameh is a bad word, then why does the Torah use it? So what does the Meiri say? The af al pi shebetorah k'tiv tameh b'kama mikomot. The Torah does say the word tameh a lot. Right? And even though I know not all of you know Chumash by heart, you are at least aware of the fact that the word tameh comes up in Chumash at some point. Otam amikomot ein bahem lushon migunah. He said that when the Torah uses tameh in those cases, it's not lushon migunah. Why? Shetameh akatuv b'Torah im b'machalo perusho asur. If tameh is talking about non-kosher animals, then what does it really mean? Asur. It's forbidden to eat. Right? It's not kosher. V'im hu b'maga ha-tum'ot, and it is talking about tumah, things that are tumbling. Af zeh ein bo ginai. Aye, so why about by Noach? What's the case that the Gemara quotes? The case of Noach. There's the animals that are tameh and the animals that are tahor that are going into the teva. So why in that context is tameh not a neutral word? So the Meiri says, aha, aval zuha amura ben Noach, perish tum'ah shebo, al otan shenevra bahen avera. This is based on the midrashic understanding of what? Let's see how well you remember Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean that the land was nishchat, v'nei nishchata, that even the animals were involved in illicit sexuality? Right, whether it be with people or it be min b'shveno mino, and the only animals that were allowed into the teva were what? Animals that were not promiscuous. Thank you. So the Meiri bases himself on this, and he says, so what does he say? So what? Oi. So what does he say? If that's the case, if you basically, that's what I just said. Do you remember this, right? Rashi quotes it, right? It's Gemara and Sanhedrin. Now, to what use does the Meiri take this midrashic tradition to say that what? Tameh in this context means, that means it's, we chose not to bring this animal into the teva because it violated sexual norms, which means that tameh in this context, it's not sexually explicit, but it is somehow related. And therefore, how does he understand Lashon Meguneh? As Nivul Peh Minus. He understands all of these as Nivul Peh Minus. Right? Because otherwise, the word tameh in general, he says, is neutral. But if the word tameh, sort of through the right, if you think about its associations, because of this midrashic understanding, it sort of has to do with sex. Aha! We've already said you shouldn't talk too explicitly about it, and therefore he says, Were things tame and tahor then? I mean, nothing was kosher or not kosher. Those things that didn't sin or weren't sinned with. And the Gemara there continues, how do you know which animals were involved in illicit sexual acts? Kol shateva kolatito, anything that the teva would swallow it. Biadua shall never bamavera. I will point out that there's possibly a, which would be ironic in context, but possibly a sexual double entendre going on there, because kolate, which means to swallow, is also used for a particular type of absorption. And that's klitat hazera, right? That when a when a egg is fertilized, it's called klitat hazera, right? So there's probably a double entendre going on, which is rather ironic, but okay. We'll get there. He says, wait a second, but if the teva wouldn't take them in, why did they even come to the teva? This is what the pasuk means. So it means two things at the same time. It was animals that were kosher animals, right, so it's saying it's an animal from a kosher species which was involved in sexuality, and the point is that you're supposed to twist the language so that it's clean. And then he says, what's the other one? Mikre Laila. What's Mikre Laila? Now this makes a lot of sense. Yeah, what is the occurrence at night that the pasuk is quoting? No, it's a sexual omission, right? No, it's a keri. No, it's semen. That's exactly the point. Is that if you had a keri is a seminal emission. Zav is an abnormal emission. It's not a normal seminal emission. V'chein v'bal keri. I mean, it happens under different circumstances. But here the Miri has a very easy way. Why, in the case of bal keri in a seminal emission that happens at night and mikrei laila. Why there do we avoid the word tame? Because it's sexual. Right? Because it's sexual. He says, ki yebecha ish asher lo yideh tahor, if you have someone who's not tahor, mikrei laila, because he had an emission at night, v'chein bilti tahor ki lo tahor, lamata shekol sheish b'loshen ginai, ra'oi la'arech u'lakim, sholzi b'feh. That anything that has Lashon Ginai, you should lengthen what you're saying to not say the dirty word. And he says, but once you say that, why does the Torah elsewhere use the words from whom a seminal emission comes out? Isn't that even more explicit than Tamei? Right? He says, no, kol she'en al yidei hiru chet, el yidei tashmish v'kavanat zera, ein lashon ganai. Because a seminal emission coming out is not itself degrading. If someone had a seminal emission in the context of a proper sexual union, that would be fine. What are we talking about here? A mikre laila, right? Where it's fine, but it's, right, we could quibble. What is the Miri clearly trying to do? He's saying, well, what's he trying to do? She'en al lashon shchiva, right? He said, if they're not trying to have kids, but someone had improper thoughts, and that led to him having a seminal mission at night, that's genai. That's, right? But if it's not genai, then you don't have to speak in a dafka, dignified language. Rather, then we prefer speaking succinctly. So what does the Miri do? Right, the Miri explains the whole sugya basically by collapsing it into nivul peminus. Right? He's saying, listen, the key to understanding the sugya is that it's not nivul pe, you're not explicitly talking about sexuality in a way that's improper, but what's the value that says that you should avoid these languages? It's not like tame is a dirty word. What is Lashon, what is the whole value in the sugya? Right, meaning it's like it's nivel temayas, that if things have some sort of improper, sinful sexual implication, even if it's not direct. So like ideally avoid it. Right? That's category two. And then Lashon Naki, he says, there's an even higher category, meaning by higher I mean even less usur, which is Lashon Kavod. And he said, what's the standard by Lashon Kavod? You only use it if it's going to be, it's also brief, it's also the briefest way of saying something, right? So there's, for the Meiri, there's Nibul Peh, which is Asur. Then there's Lashon Miguneh, which is like avoid, but it's basically Nibul Peh minus. And then there's like things that are, you could say it in a more dignified way. And there, the only time we say it in a more dignified way is if it also doesn't violate the rules of brevity, right? But if it violates the rules of brevity, forget it. Lo shevet. What? So he probably like Mordechai collapses Lashon Ma'alya into the opposite of Lashon Naki, but not Lashon, but Lashon Naki he thinks is Derech Kavod. Not necessarily, right? Now, I did come across that there is another source that implies, guys,
there are still 10 minutes. Please don't congregate here.
Yes, thank you. There is a source that implies that even Lashon Naki may be just a derivative of the sexual discussion as well, and that's number 9. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is a Tanaitic Midrash Agadah, says as follows. See, this is why there are certain things that you can like open up a sugya and you can just look up all the Rishonim on a sugya, but at some point, like some sources you just find if you just keep reading. So like I came across this because in my quest to get through Midrash, I got up to Pirkei Elazar and I got up to this Perek, and I was like, I should put this in the source sheet, right? But Pirkei Elazar says in Perek Mambav, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe B'Lashon Nikiyah. God told Moshe in clean language. What's the example of clean language according to the Pirkei Elazar? Lech Emor Lehem LeYisrael L'Chu Ish La'alo. At Har Sinai, what did God say? Go back to your tents. Shneimar lechem arshuv lochem lo alechem. And what does it mean to go back to your tents? That you are permitted to your wives again. Because in the lead up to Har Sinai, they were not. Right, and then he says, "Yachol avatat tashuv." You might think Moshe was allowed to go back to his tent. On the kind of lami, Shemishashemaz here, Moshe after Eli Yisrael, lo kara Moshe eshel ishto. Once Moshe went to accept the Torah, he was forbidden to his wife. Shneimar avatapo avmodi madi, because he stood with God. So now, how is the Pirkei Elazar using the language lashon naki? Sexual language, right? Thing that. So if you take the Meiri, you take the Pirkei Elazar, what you might say is that the way to understand this entire sugya is that the limiting principle in how you speak is sexual, right? If it's very sexually explicit, then it's potentially nivul peh. And if it's more elusive, right? Not elusive, but elusive, and I'm making up that word. I'm not sure that's a word, right? That it alludes to. So then it is nivul peh minus, but it's not the same. And now if you go up to if you go up to the Taz in number 4, and he writes as follows, look, third line down, he quotes the Gemara in Ketubot, called Menabel Apiv Motzi Davar Nevela Mipiv, Afilim Nigzar Alev Acholei, Nirati Perisho Devala Ma'esh Levamim Mendaver Nivul Peh, Belo Chivun Lahara. Al karkach his gear bekeva lashon shemotzi davar navalami piv bechavana uveratzon. Vachanami have a kivin shefshar shizocher ken shem of a kavim lo chavana lera'ah. Amar Shemaskir, La Rosh Shevichavana, Ratzon Maskir, Velashon Maskir, Pershachanativ, Laskir. He makes a claim and he says, why does the Gemara in Ketubot say that you're Motzi Davar Nevala Mipiv? Motzi Davar La, what should you have said? Midaber, Velashon Nevala. Why Motzi? Because he says that language is so bad that what? That language is so bad that what? Even if it comes out by accident, it's a problem. Right? That, yes, even if it leaves your mouth. Meaning, when it comes to very explicit sexual language, he says that it's so problematic that you, it's not just that you can't say it, you have to make sure not to say it. Right? Now, he doesn't say this, what? No. We're not. We'll have to come back to our sugya in a minute. Right? Now, in our Gemara, though, this would further note the link between them, because what's the language, right? Because according to the Taz, that language is intentional. Right? When it says, Osi Davar, it's because this language is so bad. Now, what's interesting is in our Gemara, what's the language that it uses? Lohotzi. Davar Migune Bifiv, right? Which sounds like, right, this you also have to be equally committed to, right? It's even the sort of accidental, but what about the third category of Lashon Naki? What does the Gemara there say? Lolam right? You should be Yisaper Adam B'Lashon Nikiya. So if the Taz's Diok is right, then what? You could suggest that Lashon Migune is Nibble Peminus, and that's why you use that same very strict language to limit it. But Lashon Nikia, the positive of speaking in particularly rarefied language, that's something else, right? And therefore, you should try, but that's only Lechatchila, right? So the Meiri tried to collapse all three to Nivol Peh, but based on this Diuk, based on the Taz, I would suggest that maybe Davar Meguneh is Nivol Peh minus, but Lashon Naki is something else. It's only lechatchila. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, right. That's why I said I wanted to try to understand the sugya because, right, it's important to get this down. Okay, I want to just throw something out and then we'll stop for now. One second. Guys, but someone just asked, but wait a second. So what does this have to do with light, right? Nighttime. So if you think all of these categories are the exact same, then you're right. We're going to have a trouble because or is not going to be. But if you think that, no, there's Nivol Peh and Lashon Migunah on one side, right? And then there's this idea of Lashon Naki, and maybe even Lashon Ali is more like Lashon Naki rather than the opposite of Lashon Migunah. Then what might it be? Then it could be that, listen, Lashon Naki isn't necessarily about sexual language. It's about speaking positively in a rarefied, dignified way. Right? And if that's the case, as we already been dying from the Taz, there it might be that, listen, it's not as important, but there are times when it's valuable. And we're going to see that there are certain Rishonim who say, yeah. Really, there's never a problem of saying Laila. But, or it's slightly better, and there's a reason why in this context I choose that. Okay? I'm not sure. Okay, so tomorrow, let's continue this. Hopefully, I would ideally like to finish this tomorrow. I don't really want to spend more than 2 days on it. I don't expect you to read everything, right? But let's try. We'll quickly chazer what we did today, and then we'll try to polish off the scenario.